Today on Real Radio.
Forgiveness has been given to me. The power to forgive has been given to me by God to let myself be free, to set me free. We've completely inverted the power of forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive that guy. He hurt my feelings. Yeah. That's not what forgiveness is about.
Right.
It's you having the power to forgive them so you can go free.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called Real Marriage, which takes a break from the norm and discusses the definition of marriage in an interview setting. God ordained marriage, so it's important to spend time on God's plan for coming together as one. In regards to relationships, today's culture wants to throw marriage out because, well, we've watched so many of them fall apart. But it's important to believe in what God calls marriage, and if you're married, make every effort to stay that way. It takes consistent effort, but it is possible through daily renewal in God's Holy Spirit. Today, Pastor Jack, his wife, and me, David J., we sat down to talk about how really communication is probably the biggest priority in marriage. You know, even our tone and body language will suggest a certain attitude. Our demeanor, without saying a word, can also reveal how we feel, good or bad, about any situation that we deal with in marriage or in life for that matter. And for now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We want to talk about communication in marriage. It's probably, what, the biggest subject in marriage?
I would say so.
Absolutely.
When I was growing up, my folks didn't communicate very well. At all. Mm-hmm. How did you guys do? How did you grow up? What were your parents like?
Yeah, for me, a lot like you. Mm. Our house was either quiet, like uncomfortably quiet, or off the rails. You know, somebody's yelling at somebody about something. So, yeah, it was tough.
Did you experience the same thing?
Actually, no. Mm. There was a lot more discussion that went on, so it actually was pretty good. I would say it was a good communication. People were allowed to speak and share. And when my parents did have an argument, there wasn't a lot of yelling and screaming between them.
Yeah.
There could have been between us teenagers and our mother. But between the two of them, they kind of went off and discussed things. And then they came back out pretty united on whatever the decision was. So it was pretty healthy.
So can we take that as good advice, let's say, to if you are going to have some sort of a, well, let's say a tough communication in your marriage, is it good to do it away from the kids or is it good to do it in front of the kids?
I
think both of us represent the answer to that because it happened in front of me. Mm. And with her, what she just said, you know, it was some sort of a controlled environment, which I think is awesome. The difference is I had no Christian upbringing in the home. My parents were not believers, so they didn't have anything to go by, right? Where her home had Christian guidelines, and that, as you just heard a moment ago, was the fruit of those guardrails.
Now, let me throw some numbers at you. Communication, when we say communication, we obviously think of words, things that are said. But words are just actually what the psychiatrists tell us. Words are only 7% of what the receiver receives. Mm-hmm. Tone of voice is 38%.
Yeah.
Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
And what else is body language?
Right.
Even higher, 55%.
Right.
Can you give us, Pastor Jack, some examples of words? How to say things, how not to say things?
Yeah, I mean, I could say something like, you know, let's say I'm calling Lisa for something. Lisa, come here. I need you. I could say, I need you, or I need you. Or there's various ways, obviously, by tone to say it. So I think in conjunction with body language and the tone, it's going to be louder. Can I use that word? Louder than the words themselves. I could tell her, I love you. But what's the tone of that?
Yeah.
If I say, I love you, that makes it horrible. So the tone, the body language, I think we can say things all the time. It's almost like when you're raising up little kids and, you know, your son punches your daughter in the nose and you tell him, go tell your sister you're sorry. Well, you usually see the fist go on the hip and the little one saying, I'm sorry. Well, they're saying the right words. They're saying the 7%, but it's the 55 and the 30 plus percent that make it the 80 or 90 something that is just not acceptable.
It seems to me that that when you come to someone with an attitude of peace and love, you can pretty much say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes you don't have to say anything because it is the body language. It's the look on the face. You don't have to say a word. Someone knows if you're angry. Someone knows your countenance, whether your eyes, if there's a softness or a harshness or an anger. You don't have to say one word. It's the look on the face that communicates a huge amount of nothing you would even say. I mean, you don't have to. If your child looked at you or your spouse looked at you and they could read that anger or that hatred or whatever it is, they're going to see that on your face before
Davey,
you say anything.
I want to go off of what Lisa just said a moment ago, and I'll take this opportunity to throw myself under the bus on this one. We had here at the church quite a while back a man come out who's nationally or internationally renowned for his ability to coach teams in the workplace and to create an environment. And so he interviewed each of us. And it was interesting because when it was time to discuss what he had observed, he sat Lisa and I down and he said, "This is my assessment of you, Jack, and or of you, Lisa." But when he went down the assessment of me, he had made the comment that I may not necessarily elevate my voice and yell, but he said, "You can put a look on your face," which I have to tell you, I was completely unaware of this. He said, "You can put a look on your face and not say anything, and you're yelling at someone."
And this was somebody observing you.
We paid the guy to tell me this.
Sure.
And I was shocked. And you know what? I wound up asking people close to me, "Is that true?"
Yeah.
And some of the people had said, "I could have swore you yelled at me, but when I revisit that moment, you didn't yell at me. It's the way you looked at me."
Isn't that
And I almost died. I almost started bawling. I felt so horrible. It caused me to look back and realize, man, this is an area that Jesus really needs to have greater control of my life because, again, I'm not blaming anybody. I allowed my upbringing to form my personality.
Right.
And even my demeanor about, without saying a word, I can put on this look. And trust me, I never think like, well, I'm going to really let Lisa know what I'm feeling and put on this look. It just happens. And that's the scary thing.
Have you been in this situation? Because I have, and my lovely wife is sitting right over there. You can see her.
Yeah, better watch it.
Be careful. Where she says to me, "Why are you raising your voice?" Now, in my opinion,
I'm not raising my voice.
Yeah. We haven't even begun. In my opinion, I'm not raising my voice.
Exactly.
And when I step back and look at it, I really am not raising my voice as far as I know.
Yeah.
But to her, I am raising my voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all about the listening.
Yeah, and it's amazing because what comes out of her mouth by tone, forget the words, the tone, it's actually shown almost like on a display, which is their face. You say it in a tone and you can see the hurt or the encouragement on the face of the person that's hearing the tone of what you're saying.
Speaking of listening, James 1:19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Now, you may have heard what your spouse said, but what makes true listening so hard? Can I use those words, true listening? Why is that so difficult?
Lisa, you want to take that first?
Probably because we think what we have to say is so much more important than what somebody else. I mean, honestly, that's the truth.
Now, my friend Leo would go, "Take notes on this, David."
Exactly. So I think it is true, but I think that's why that verse is so important to remind us that we have two ears, which means we should be listening double what we're speaking. I only have one mouth and one tongue. God didn't give me two tongues. He gave me two ears, so it is very important too. And then let's add to the mix the difference between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
We are completely different.
Yeah.
So we don't always listen the same. And the way a man wants to hear, he wants to hear words from his wife that are going to communicate respect. A woman, on the other hand, completely opposite, wants to a man to communicate security, that he's there for her, that he'll die for her. And a man wants that respect that, hey, you know what? We may disagree on this, but I respect you as a man. I think you're a good man. I think there's so many good qualities. And if a woman can communicate that to her husband, then there's going to be much better communication between the two of them.
Yeah, we often emotionally color outside the lines rather than being inside, meaning the woman wants to, as Lisa said, have that sense of security, which causes her to blossom. She feels good. She'll develop. The man wants the respect. And these are all biblical, by the way, these are biblical things exposed to us in the Word of God, that this is how we're made up. we often go outside the lines and try to establish this. We might say, you need to respect me. And she might say, well, I need to feel secure here. And you're outside the lines. But when you focus on the fact that the best thing to happen, if I'm going to be respected by my wife, I need to give her that theater, that atmosphere of security.
Yeah.
And that's being inside the lines. That's getting in there and finding out, okay, what do I need to do in this marriage to not only make her happy? I know that if she's happy and blessed, then she's going to naturally respect me. It's going to come out. She's going to see that.
Can I jump in with what I'm hearing here? Things that work are, how can I be different?
Yeah.
Things that don't work are, why is my marriage so lousy right
now?
Yeah,
never go about trying to change your spouse. You need to change.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's talk specifically about things that work in communication. Lisa, would you read for us from Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 14?
Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love.
I was taking notes in that in my brain. What does it mean to put on tender mercies?
To be merciful, to be kind, to be gentle, to be forgiving. All of those things are entailed in being merciful. I'm going to put on these things onto you. So I give of myself. I deny what maybe I feel justified in anger or pain or hurt. I'm not going to dwell on that. Instead, I'm going to give something to you because that's what the Lord's done for each one of us.
You know what you just reminded me of? I hate to make the bed.
Yeah.
I don't see a point in making the bed.
Yeah.
That's
You're going to get back in it.
Exactly. Yeah. Why? And this comes from my single days. I don't want to make the bed. But yesterday, I found myself making the bed at my house because my wife likes it.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
She likes it. Mm-hmm. And I told her later on, we were in the kitchen standing there, I said, the only reason I make the bed is because you like it.
Yeah.
And she cried.
Yeah, that's awesome.
She stood there in front of me and she cried.
Yeah.
Yeah. People need to realize this about marriage. Yeah. Marriage is all about, it's all about serving. It's all about ministry. Look, you don't have to be in the ministry to be a minister. All you have to do is get married. If you get married, you're going to be a minister. You're to serve one another. And I'm wondering if our culture today that we're so far from that, where people are thinking, hey, this is a world in existence for me. What am I going to get out of this? I'll be married to you for as long as you make me happy. And that's not, it's never going to work. It never has. It's not going to. Marriage wasn't designed like that.
Bearing with one another. How do we actually bear with one another? What does that mean in Colossians?
Yeah, for me, I'll answer very quickly. I try to put it in the perspective of if I'm dealing with Lisa or Davey, you or anybody else, I need to be thinking, okay, wait a minute. I'm getting challenged in this area. This is, I don't know what to do about this. Lord, I'm sure I challenge you. I'm sure that I mess things up with us. So give me your heart, your voice, your mouth, your will on this matter. And that allows me, I guess the word would be compassion, to get inside some skin of another, in this case, Lisa. How do I conduct myself? How do I bear this issue? Well, I want to be thinking how she's going to be feeling and how she's going to take that away.
Lisa, there was one phrase in that verse, long-suffering. Mm-hmm. Do you find a difference between suffering and long-suffering?
Well, the fact that the Lord said to suffer long, it wasn't just suffer. We might think, oh, I have to suffer, and it might be a short time because none of us want to suffer. But if we're going to suffer short, it's not so bad. But the fact that it says long-suffering, to suffer long, means I'm going to bear with someone. I'm going to put up with those things. I may be in a very uncomfortable position for a long time or denying my flesh in a situation for a long time. But that's a command to me. And he'll give me that strength that I need because sometimes it's not easy.
Where does forgiveness play into this whole thing?
Oh, it's huge.
It's constant. You talk about forgiveness and long-suffering. You know, we're sitting here today and we're together doing this right now. And this month is our 35th anniversary month. Yeah. So you talk about long-suffering and forgiveness. How does that work? Number one, people need to wake up to the fact that there are no perfect marriages.
Right.
Okay? Fair enough.
Second thing is, it succeeds because if you're committed, making the commitment, long-suffering, the long road, it's only going to work if forgiveness is extended. If you walk according to what God wants, and he tells us this in his word. So for us, You know, people might see on the other side of the camera or the lens, well, you know what, they don't have any problems.
Yeah.
Listen, everyone, God will see to it you have problems.
Yeah.
Why? Because he takes the word long-suffering and forgiveness. And our God's not theoretical. He makes it happen. You will live the truth of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing, though, that he's the author of it and his power, he knows what's best. And so you go through it. You endure that, not like it's some grievous thing, but you realize, hey, you know what? Today we had a tough day. Tomorrow it's going to be a better day. We're going to make it a better day tomorrow.
I'm going to throw one at you real quick. And I'm thinking maybe you can come up with an example for me, Lisa. To where a soft answer
turns
away wrath. Proverbs says that.
Yes, yeah.
A soft
does.
Answer turns away wrath. Do you have an example of that, just off the top of your head? I'm kind of throwing this at you, but why not?
I can answer that for her. She's been great at that very thing, where I, if you haven't noticed, have a tendency to get excited about things. I see things in Technicolor all the time.
Yeah.
But listen, I know this is a shock, but not all of my ideas are great ideas. And Lisa, you know what I'm doing. She'll do that. She will respond to me back rather than what she's really thinking, like what a knucklehead idea that was. She might counter by saying, you know, we ought to sit down and talk that through and check that out. We ought to maybe look more into that. Where that is, in my opinion, a soft answer turning away a very passionate proclamation.
Yeah.
And you, I guess the word would be diffuse. Mm-hmm. And she's good at that.
Let's talk about, in the few minutes we have left, we've talked about the things that work in communication, mostly. Let's talk about what doesn't work in communication. For example, Ephesians 4:25.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
Do you guys practice that don't letting the sun go down on your wrath thing? Because I've heard of it before.
Yeah.
Do you guys do it?
I can say like 90% of the time we do. But you're asking the question about the
10%. Yeah, what about the other 10%?
And the 10% is the reality of people's lives. I can tell you this. When I don't obey, when Lisa and I do not obey the scripture, I can tell you right now, what happens is... You wake up the next morning, it doesn't matter if she's 6 inches from me, she might as well be 6,000 miles away.
Yeah.
The emotional separation is huge. Then there's a sense, now I may be making this bigger than what it is in your life, but it's true for me and it's this. I feel as though the devil's been at work during the night to put a wedge in between us, because what could have been maybe another half hour, 20 minutes or an hour or 2 hours the night before in settling the issue, now it's going to take the entire day. In fact, in my opinion, you ought to take, both of you take the day off.
Yeah, it's just not worth it.
Take the day off, put a pot of coffee on, sit down and work it out. Yeah. Don't do anything until you work it out, because there will be a separation, a wedge that will be woven, I believe, by the enemy. And it's true.
Continuing on with the things that don't work.
Verse 28.
28, yeah.
Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word or communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart, listen to this, grace to the hearers. Mm. Imagine that going on in your home.
Yeah.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We have to remember that, because we have a great heritage for ourselves, yet coming as well prophetically. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, clamor, or anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Why should we forgive one another? Even as God in Christ forgave you.
You know what? I'm just feeling as you're reading this, there might be some folks watching right now, maybe a bitter human being saying, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Let me challenge you. Let me challenge you to do that.
Yeah.
Just take the time to not be bitter. Give it 5 minutes. What's it going to hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
What does bitterness do to a relationship?
Oh, so destructive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why in Hebrews it says, don't let a root of bitterness.
A root.
You know, any plant starts with a little root.
Yeah.
But in order for it to really grow strong, it grows deep roots.
It has to be worked
And at. When you think about that with a bitter heart, it's got a stronghold. And when someone says, I will not forgive, I will not let that hurt go away, okay? They've got a huge root. But in Hebrews, it says, don't even let a root, a little root, just even the little bit, because why? It's going to grow. Cut it off. You know, when you dig that weed up and you see the roots, it's like victory,
I got it.
But if it broke off, in a month, I got to go back to that weed again.
In the same verse, it talks about corrupt words and as opposed to words that edify.
Yeah.
Imagine if we actually practiced that in a marriage.
Wouldn't that
if
be
you actually gave grace to the hearer,
words
you were
tender-hearted,
you weren't bitter, you weren't angry, you had no corrupt communication, all of the things just listed in there, it would be a very healthy communication within the marriage, within the home. Children would be raised to hear good things being exchanged between a mother and a father. Life would be beautiful.
But someone's going to be watching this and they're going to say, oh yeah, easy for you to say. You don't know what my wife has been like or my husband has been like. But wait a minute. And I love what you said a moment ago, Davey, how you addressed the hearer directly. Ask yourself this question. Where has your bitterness got you?
Mm-hmm.
And listen, where has your justified hurts taken you?
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Because they are hurt. Listen, we all get hurt.
Yeah. Right.
And we're justified even. I was honestly, really, truly hurt, and it was not right. So I have a justified hurt. But listen, if you don't take it to Jesus, because remember, he forgave you, so we need to forgive others. We fail at this, Davey, because we think that forgiveness is me doing it to relieve the other guy. Forgiveness has been given to me. The power to forgive has been given to me by God to let myself be free, to set me free. We've completely inverted the power of forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive that guy. He hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
That's not what forgiveness is about.
Right.
It's you having the power to forgive them so you can go free. And when that happens, bitterness will go out the window.
Disagreements.
Yeah.
When you do have a disagreement, how do you deal with it?
In a perfect world, when we have a disagreement, I mean, what works best is when there is first of all, a healthy foundation and basis that you can communicate what you're feeling. You can communicate, or he can communicate, I can communicate. And even though we may disagree, you may have to compromise in the middle of that. If you're both kind of holding your ground, you think the wall should be, he thinks it's 30, I think it should only be 20 feet tall. And you've got to compromise at some point. You may even have to bring in a third party to kind of help you if you're both not willing to compromise on something. But allowing each other to be heard is huge. I mean, just being satisfied that I can share my heart, he can share his, and then it's a little bit easier to communicate. But if it's an argument in a disagreement and there's yelling and there's screaming, whatever, and hurtful words exchanged, there's not going to be a good end to that scenario.
Yeah.
But if there's good communication of just sharing and people listening, we're back to James again, being willing to listen twice as much, then there's going to be a tendency not to want to lash out. So not making it a toxic environment.
Pastor Jack, only a minute left.
Yeah.
Can you wrap this up for us?
Yeah, it's amazing the stuff we're talking about right now. It's relational, it's marriage, it's life, it's ministry, it's everything. We're talking about relationship and marriage, and yet God says to us that we are a spouse to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a great thing to keep in mind. Just in this one program, we're not going to be able to answer things that are going to heal your marriage per se. But the question is, do you have a heart open to begin on a course of fixing your home? And believe it or not, it doesn't come with you fixing your spouse. It begins with you fixing yourself with your God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Communicating in Your Marriage. Thanks for listening to today's segment. Our hope is that we can stop the root of bitterness from growing in any relationship by continuing to be mindful of how a soft answer can turn away wrath. Today's interview was just one in a series called Real Marriage, a series that looks at how God has a plan for marriage and how His plan works, and will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. If you've been enjoying this Real Marriage series, we want to let you know that we've made the DVD set available for you for your gift in support of Real Radio. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on Real Marriage, Real Life. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.